Today's Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. This is the central mystery, we say, the central mystery of our faith. Everything comes from God himself, who we contemplate today as one God, one divine nature, but mysteriously existing in a unity of three divine persons. He in himself is a relationship of love, so beautiful and ultimately mysterious. In any words and language we use to try and explain the Trinity, we have to be careful, because it's more about keeping ourselves from saying something wrong than about actually saying something that we can know and conceive of. Because ultimately, we cannot conceive God. And if we think, oh, I understand, you know, he's like a three-leaf clover. And that's modalism, Patrick. Yeah, you don't want to do... Yeah, people use images. It's like, and it's helpful maybe in a little bit. Like God's like water. It's liquid, gas, and frozen. Yeah. Ultimately not helpful, because it takes God down to our level. It makes us think less, or can tempt us to think less of him, because if we have a concept here on earth, it's of something created, and God's uncreated. And so it's okay sometimes to use these images, as long as we recognize that in the end, God is infinitely beyond us, and we can't grasp him, and we should be happy we can't. You know, human beings for a long time have been trying to think of God in terms of humans. You think of the pagan Romans or Greeks. Who were the gods for them? People who were just as misbehaved as they were, only they had special powers that allowed them to get into even more trouble. You know, the gods were just these dudes and ladies poorly dressed and really doing bad stuff. You know, they thought of God as them, human beings with just superpowers. Not good. You know, or maybe think of like our like Muslim brothers and sisters. They think of God as just one. Jesus isn't God, Holy Spirit, none of that stuff. He's just one. Or maybe our Jehovah's Witness brothers and sisters or Mormons. Like, they're getting a little bit closer. They believe Jesus is really special and the Holy Spirit too, but they're not God. They're just like superheroes. Guys with special powers. You know, all these ways that we try and make more sense of God on our level than he intends for us to do. In Scripture, it reveals to us that God is not just one person. He's three. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in unity. One divine nature. And we can't give in to temptations. Well, it doesn't really make sense, and so let's cut two guys out and just... Well, it's okay if we don't understand and can't explain the Trinity. It means we're believing in a God who truly is beyond us. We'll leave it at that. I don't want to try and explain anymore, because I'll fall into heresy. But just point one is, if you think, are Christians really right about the whole Trinity thing? Maybe we should be like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or Muslims, or someone, you know, and we explain these other figures in a different way. No. Because if you're trying to make sense of the Trinity, you're going to ultimately come up with someone or something that's not God. We should be happy that we have a God who's so far beyond us that in our created and limited minds, we can't grasp him. That's good. People make fun of you saying, you Catholics can't do math. 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't equal 1. It's okay. Let it go. Because it's a mystery, and we are happy with that. But at the same time, and this is what I want to leave you with today, not confused, comforted, because in our hearts, we've been made for God. And our hearts will lead us to the truth. Scriptures today tell us that God is not infinitely distant from us. He wants to be with us. He himself, not some emissary, not some henchman. He himself, in his totality, wants to be with us. It started with Moses in the desert. God, he petitions, please come. I know we're sinful. I know we're misbehaving. Would you be with us? Walk with us. And God dwells with his people. In that way, in kind of a limited way, the cloud and the fire following through, all the way through the Old Testament, God stays with his people. He promises a day when he's going to be with them himself. And who comes? Jesus. And if you don't understand, you know, with your heart, the Trinity, you might think, well, wait a minute. Jesus, that's not God. That's his son. He just sent his son. Lame. The Father's up there too busy or bored or doesn't care about us, and he sends his son to take care of the problem. You know, if you think that Jesus is not one and the same God, you might make the mistake of thinking that, well, the Father is either a really bad dad or really lazy. You know, he's either, because the world has fallen into chaos, and there's a problem, and who does he send? He sends his son. He's like, son, go take care of that problem for me. That's what we would believe if we didn't believe in the Trinity. And when you think about it a little bit, and then you look in your heart and say, God promised to be with us, and I want to be with God. You know in your heart there's no way that Jesus could be anything but that very same God. And at that point, you know, you got your heart and your mind really not lining up. You're like, well, how do I explain that the Son is also, you know, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit? And where one is, the others are present as well. Like, how do I explain that? You can wrestle with it a little bit. Read some Aquinas. Listen to some Aquinas Institute YouTube videos. But ultimately, just look back to your heart. You want to be with God. God wants to be with you. He sent the Son. He didn't. You know, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Don't think that he was disinterested and sent someone else. He came himself in a most mysterious way that we say is in the person of Jesus. But he's no more distant from us than if the Father and the Son had somehow appeared in some miraculous way all together. We know that where one is, the other two are as well. God himself came to be with us. And when we receive communion, same thing. We talk about, you know, this is Jesus. We don't say that as if like the Father and the Son or the Father and the Holy Spirit are somewhere else. Like, well, I'd really like to see God or the Holy Spirit one day. That'd be nice. He's there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fully present in the Eucharist. But Jesus revealed this to us. So we speak to it, speak about the Eucharist most commonly, just using the name of Jesus, but not to separate the others out. Right? So when you receive communion, you receive God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God comes to be with you. He wants to be with you. Again, he didn't send some of his henchmen or something to go take care of the problem. And he's just up there smoking cigars and drinking margaritas. He's with us, right? And when you want to be with the Lord, come to communion. Come to adoration. God is with us. In fact, yeah, this is a beautiful thing about being Catholic. Is when Jesus promised, I will be with you forever. There he is. No other faith, no other Christian faith has preserved that, that Jesus himself comes physically as well as spiritually in the Eucharist. And it's also the Father and the Holy Spirit. God himself literally dwells with us. And when you leave this church today after receiving communion, God is with you. You're a tabernacle. This is amazing. The Holy Trinity dwells within us. In a tangible way, we give thanks for that today. Thanks for a God who's infinitely beyond us and ultimately incomprehensible, but who has given us a heart that yearns for and is made for him and that knows the truth that when he sent his Son and the Holy Spirit, that is him as well, like one God in three persons. We give thanks for that and look forward to in communion being given every grace we need to make it through the struggles of our week. We pray the Lord to strengthen our faith, strengthen our love for him.